Yo, what up, it's your girl V Henny Man. You already know the vibes. Welcome to the Artistry, where we talk shit about music, entertainment, and the everyday struggles. And you know how we do, man, we always have a dope guest in the building. We out here in Atlanta, and we got Nathaniel, the great, in the building.
Yeah, I know the New York way,
Yo, I don't have the budget, so usually, you know, it's like
You know?
You know, how you doing?
I'm chilling, man. Thank you for having me. Well,
thank you for taking the time. I've been harassing Nathaniel for like about a year. You know, not, but I know you've been busy doing amazing things. Before we dive into anything, I just want to give you your flowers.
Thank you.
And say congratulations.
Thank you.
So many things you're accomplishing, and it's like, it's super motivational and it's inspirational as well. So just please continue that this path, because I've always heard of Nathaniel for a while, like for years. Haven't met you. I met you last year, right?
Yeah, last year here in Atlanta.
Yes, yeah. Crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I met you last year, and just the way you've been progressing within your artistry,
thank you,
is super amazing. I definitely wanted to dive into the fact of, like, learning that you've been in the game for a while. Looking at you is like a reminder of that saying, trust the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the fact of how you overcame a lot of lessons, challenges, you leaving New York to Atlanta. So how was that? Before we get into that, how was that transition?
The transition was a little uncomfortable at first.
Okay.
But just through my journey in music and through life, I realized that comfortability is like literally like a prison. You
yes.
stay in that comfort zone. So now I find every way possible to break my comfort zone. And every time I break that comfort zone, I end up in a better position.
Yes.
Yeah, so I eventually got comfortable here after the first 2 months, and everything just picked up.
First 2 months?
2 months, it was over. First two, moving
That's
in.
That's not New York mentality though.
Yo, it's just
You probably was like, you moving everywhere.
Yeah, but it's funny because I was sleeping on my brother's floor.
Okay.
The reason why is because he moved out of one crib and he just left that crib to me like, yo, when you come to Atlanta, here's somewhere for you to stay. And I didn't furnish the place and all that. I just literally stayed on the floor on like an airbed for a month while I figured Atlanta out, while I look for my own place. So that was very uncomfortable.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously, look where you're at now, though, like you said. So, you know, I've always said, like, there's a saying that I tend to say a lot. It's, you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yep.
You know, that's part of the growth.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that you was in New York, right? This is why, like I said, it's like that saying, trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
Being that you was in New York for such a long time, you've been grinding and hustling. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you came out here in a short period of time and you're accomplishing so much, how you feel about that?
It shows me that when you step into a different environment,
mm-hmm.
you may have a completely different impact in that place than you had at home.
Okay.
So it's very important to leave. They always say, I'd rather be a big fish in a small pond than a fish in a giant ocean, like gotcha. A big fish in a, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's the idea of me being in New York. It's very saturated, there's so much going on. And it's not that Atlanta's not busy,
mm-hmm.
but I'm unique in Atlanta. There's no R&B singers from New York. There's might be one or two.
Okay.
James Worthy, a homie I just met the other day, I heard he was from New York as well. But we like different, we're unicorns here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather be something different and then like a new variable or unicorn in a new environment than to be somewhere where everybody's doing what I'm doing. Everybody talk how I talk, everybody walk how I walk.
So what did you take it? So what are you appreciating like more out here that in New York that you weren't getting so much?
The love, man.
It's the love.
The love, let's just
right?
say that.
Right, let's talk about
the love.
It.
Let's put this on blast, man. Like, it ain't really a lot of opportunities in New York. See, it's a lot of things going on in New York,
mm-hmm.
but those opportunities are really only given to the people who probably already won.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of opportunities for the new guys in New York. There's not club promoters and DJs are not saying, yo, let me break your record. Club promoters are not saying, hey, come perform in my club for free. Let me play your joint in the club. It's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta already be lit for it to happen. And then it looks like it's things going on. It's not happening for everybody. Down here, you could be nobody and get opportunities from everybody. My first week down here, I did like 5 shows.
Wow.
Right? And it was all promoters that said, yo, come perform in my club for free. Gave me sections and all that. One promoter even gave me bottles. Like, yo, come. I see that you're an artist. You want to perform? Let me see what you're doing. Come to my club.
Mm.
They're not doing that. Radio up here. Yo, it took me 10 years to get on radio in New York. Down here, within 3 months, prime time. Greg Street, DJ Peanut, interviewing me on V103 on the air in prime time. People driving in their car hear my voice on the radio. It took me 10, 15 years to get radio in New York.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So opportunities are being given.
Was this while you were still visiting or like?
This was 2 months that I officially moved down.
Okay.
Here. So my visit was like a good 2 months. Moved down. 2 months later, after I was a resident, mm-hmm. I was on the radio out here.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It is.
Major radio at that. And the song has been playing since.
Why do you think is like the Eagles? Why New Yorkers are like this? Because I'm trying to say correctly.
Yeah, you're trying to. Yeah. And me too. Like, I always gotta, I gotta talk a certain way because I'm not in, I don't live in New York no more. So it ain't turning my back on New York. And I know people that sit in New York, kind of, some of them be like, oh, now you in Atlanta. You saying, you know, you looking down on New York. Nah, I said this same stuff when I was in New York.
Yeah.
I said, I gotta leave.
So why you feel like, why do you think we have that mentality?
Because somebody gassed us and said, New York is the best place in the world. Mm-mm. Somebody gassed us. Somebody gassed the whole city.
I mean, I get, no, but I get,
yeah, see, respectively, it is, because I'm from there.
Yeah.
But then somebody that's from somewhere else, their mm-hmm. city is the best place in the world to
absolutely.
Them. Somehow we done took it to where we think our place is better than everywhere, and that then we internalize it to thinking we're better than the person next to us.
Mm.
So that ego, it trickles down. First it was the city is the best, then it's your hood is the best, then it's like, yo, I'm the best in the hood. So that make you just,
that's a fact,
think you just better than everybody.
That's a fact.
Yeah, it's a trickle down in mentality.
It's crazy. I was telling someone actually today and yesterday, I was just like, you know what I appreciate about Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Atlanta, like, there's so many people I've met and came across as like, yo, there's a bag out here, let's get it together.
Yes.
And then opposed to in New York, it's like, there's a bag out here, this is my bag.
Yep. Yep.
Mm. And it's like the unity.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So that's why I'm like, when I met you, you know, knowing that I was able to put the name to the face,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then just watching your progress. And I was just like, yo, again, it's beautiful because in New York, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, like you said, it took you how long just to be on major radio? You understand? Mm-hmm. You're doing it. You was just featured on Lizzo's, right? Like, mm-hmm. Lizzo's, you're, not only that, your album right now in itself is doing amazing things.
Thank you.
You know, you. Aquarius.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I haven't heard it. Yeah, slacking.
Go get that.
Yes. We're looking at, first of all, this is an album.
Yeah.
This is an album. This is not, and I'm not talking about
body of work.
Like 12 songs. I'm not talking about album 10. No, this is an album.
Yeah.
We got 17 tracks.
Yeah, man.
You know,
yeah.
Shout out to everything because, you know, you made me look at things in a different, in a perspective like, if he can do it, I can do it.
And it's true.
You know, like, and then it's like, again, the love. So I see how you're glowing mm-hmm. in a sense, you know, like, you know, they're treating you good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunately, not only just in New York, sometimes this industry, since you've been in the game and I wanted to speak on, is like, when you're in the game for such a long time, sometimes you feel overlooked,
mm-hmm.
You know, taken advantage,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you know, just, so I want to know, like, when in doubt, what is it that you do to transmute that energy into a positive mindset?
I usually find ways to just gas myself or excite myself, not gas, but excite myself.
Okay.
If there's nothing going on, like let's say I wake up today and there's no deals on the table, there's no features, verses I got back, or there's no interview set up, that day is just quiet and dead. I'm like, let me shake something up. What can I do to make something happen? I still use the mentality of somebody that has nothing done and start jumping in the DMs of people that I'm trying to get next to. Mm-hmm. How you doing? My name is Nathaniel. I'm an R&B singer from Brooklyn. This is what I got going on now. If there's anything I can contribute to what you got going on. So I'm still finding the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sit there like, oh, what's going to happen for me today? I'm always like, all right, boom. I got to do this. Right now, I got to do the V. Henny joint. I'm like, when I leave here, I'm going to go try to slide the V103, the radio station, to bring them some Bel Air. When I leave there, let me see who's doing an event that I could go show up to. I'm moving.
Yeah.
If I sit back, nothing is going to happen. So yeah, I may get depressed that tomorrow when I'm like, yo, it's nothing on the table, it's nothing going on.
Mm-hmm.
I create excitement.
As you should.
Yeah, and that'll pull anybody out of a slump of depression, a slump of feeling like you ain't moving. If you learn how to create your own excitement, you ain't got to get it externally. It comes from within.
No, that's a fact, yo. And like, I'm not a big believer of luck. I believe mm-hmm. that you set the tone to your destiny.
That's true.
Like you said, you're creating it. Mm-hmm. You understand? Like at the end of the day, like if you want to be great, you have to do great.
Yes.
Like you, and the fact that you, I love this, how you know your professionalism, where you're like, I'm properly introducing myself to those I want to get next to,
mm-hmm.
opposed to just like, let me just drop this single, my, you know, the link, you know,
right.
check it out.
Check me out.
Who the fuck are you? You know, like, what are you doing in my day? You know, like, so the fact that you learned that, now, learning that etiquette, how long did it take you to get there?
Sometime, you know, being young and hungry, thinking that you should spam people, and you know, we all try to spam, right?
Mm-hmm.
It changed for me when I started getting traction for myself, and then other people started reaching out to me to listen to their stuff or to tap in with them. I started paying attention to how people are approaching me, and the people who would get my attention, the way they approached me, the way they addressed me, or the way that they carry themselves, it stood out. So I said, you know what? This is really important. When I'm trying to reach somebody,
mm-hmm.
I gotta step to them the way that gets their attention in a respectable way. The same way that, you know, I don't wanna be spammed. I'm not gonna spam somebody else.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yo, by the way, I learned, yo, you a talented man. So I learned that you got your bachelor's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And computer information.
That's right, she do her research. This is a real, she know what she doing. Let me just say that.
You know, so. The fact that you, this man has his bachelor and he combined the two.
Yeah.
And you co-signed, you turned your artistry and you learned to like the whole like marketing aspect,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
creating certain things. What I want to know is like, first, what made you go about selecting that as a major?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that something you was like always interested in?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you go from computer science to becoming this artist? I know you was always singing at a young age, but like, mm-hmm. like how the hell, like two different markets.
Right,
you
right.
know, and I want to learn, how did you go about, when did it hit you to, and you realize when that no yeah when did you realize that you can combine this with your artistry and create like this whole spark?
Yeah. The good thing about both of these things are they both my passions.
Okay.
If I didn't sing, it'll be just IT and technology and computers and
mm-hmm.
stuff. And if it wasn't that, it would just be music.
Okay.
As a kid, I was always breaking stuff apart, fixing it while singing.
Okay.
So this is just me, right? And then I always knew the importance of having like a backup plan, not even a backup plan, but having a degree and having an education.
Gotcha.
A formal education in things. So that's what kept me in school.
Mm-hmm.
I went to City Tech in Brooklyn, New York City Tech. While being a musician, getting my bachelor's, then I worked on Wall Street to really polish my game in terms of IT and technology.
Oh, wow.
So I got next to a lot of the guys that create things, app builders, guys who started companies, CEOs, a lot of my friends, some of them are billionaires, but not on the music side, the tech world.
Tech world.
So when I have conversations with them, it's never about music, but it's always about business. So I learned like the importance of technology
mm-hmm.
and just business. So then I started to look at the digital age, the social media era,
yes.
and I'm like, how can I leverage this and how can I develop some things
mm-hmm.
that may be able to infuse everything? So I built my own app, the Nathaniel app. If you have an iPhone or Android, search my name and it'll come right up. It's a free app. All my information is there. Music is there. Everything. So I realized the importance of
that. Was so dope.
Yeah.
I'm like, with the only cheesy smile, like, wait. So you created your own app.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a website, right?
Definitely. NathanielOnline.com.
All that is all like all together.
All
like,
tied in
yeah,
the back and
okay.
it's all together. It's all in
okay.
one.
Okay. Yeah. So going to school and being this artist as well, how did you go about finding your balance? Because that's a lot.
It's very hard. I remember being in class while the professor's talking, preparing us for a test or something, and I'm trying to finish the song. That confusion is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or like on stage performing while I have my phone ringing because one of my IT clients, their server just went down. It's really like this mix. So what I realize is that it's all encompassing, it's all together. It's my life as a whole. It's never
okay.
me saying turn off the IT and just be an artist or turn off the music, because while I'm fixing the server, I'm thinking of songs in my head. But I had to accept that it's all one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't push one to the side and say I'm gonna wake up today as only IT Nate. It's not gonna happen.
Mm.
Or I'm only performing Nate. It's not gonna happen.
Okay.
But you find that symbiotic relationship, the way you just blend it and understand that all throughout the day it's both things, and it kind of just grows as one. It's me, you know?
No, that was dope. That was, you know, that's what I said, like learning, understanding that you did that, and then you actually just combined the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not too many people think outside the box. Like,
yeah.
You know, you do have, so I'm not trying to downplay others, but the fact that you was able to take your brand and elevate it, you know, mm-hmm. and then it's like, so what I'm getting from you is that you just, again, you don't like to be comfortable.
Right.
You want to continue growing,
mm-hmm.
right? So when you, have you been in a place where you felt stagnant? And if so, like, what did you do to get yourself out of that particular space?
The most stagnant I felt was probably after a major deal that I had, and the label, it didn't go the way that I wanted it to go.
Okay.
And then after I got out the label, I was in a space where I said, I'm just not doing music. Mm. 2 years, I took off and tried to be straight IT. That's when I went crazy on Wall Street and really was just like, I submerged myself with technology. Like, I tried to turn the music off and just stop it, and just, I went crazy with IT.
Okay.
That phase allowed me to super, like, fast forward my knowledge of everything and my experience. Like, I dived deep. I was night and day. Wake up at 7 in the morning, leave, stop working by 10 at night. And this was all in corporate America, just fixing things. And, but the music just found me again.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't say depressed, but I was turned off by the music, because I'm thinking, like, yo, I waited my whole life to get a record deal,
mm-hmm.
and now that I get the deal, it didn't work, like, for it to not go the way I wanted it to go.
So what, they shelved you? That's what it was?
I would say in a way, kinda. Like, the CEO of that label kinda started to focus more on just other things. It wasn't catering to any of his artists, though. It wasn't just me. His whole label, and it was, like, partnered with Warner Brothers, so it was like, we had the machine behind us if it would've went right. That was what it was, you know what I'm saying? It was just a lack of them really working the music side of things. But what did I do to get out of that? To be very honest with you, man, like, once I got back to the music, I started to write more about life, about what was going on with me. And because I'm still a singer anyway, even if I'm not going to make it, if I said I didn't want to be famous, I'll still be an artist because I like to sing. I'll still be passionate about music.
Okay.
So I stopped doing the music to be famous. I just started making music for myself, for my life, things that I would just make for myself. And that just, I swear, like, when you just being productive,
mm-hmm.
productivity itself,
yes,
will take you wherever it's going to take you. It's when we get so depressed or down or in a slump that we stop creating, you stay in a slump.
Yeah.
If a painter goes crazy, but he pick up his brush again, he could go from that, his bedroom, to a gallery.
That's a fact.
But he got to be productive. Productivity is the only thing that's going to really make you move. So that's the answer for me.
That's dope. I feel like, I may be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but mm-hmm. I feel like that's probably a moment where you found out, like, instead of chasing, like, the fame, as you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
you realize how important the longevity was.
Very true.
You know, so that's what I'm taking. So, but again, like, look where you're at, you know. I was listening to your album. I'm still finishing it.
Mm-hmm.
I got that real essence of R&B.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, okay. Like, okay, I see, you know, like, so I got that real essence of R&B, and I was just like, you know, like, the fact that you have 17 tracks, you know, and again, like, we already know when you have a project, this is your baby,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I understand that, but I want to know, out of the 17 tracks, which one you would say took you out of your comfort zone when it came to your writing process?
Wow. There's so many different ones that made me go into so many different places. There is one on there called Never Been Black at the very end of the album, where I'm kind of addressing a lot of the police shooting, the brutality and things like that. That record took me and put me in a different place because it was pain in that record. It was every time there was a police shooting or like some injustice, I would add more lyrics to it and get back to it. I'll start recording, come back to it 3 months later. I'm like, oh, I can't finish it.
Tracks.
Yeah, walk away from it, George Floyd happened. Oh, I'm back at this. You know what I'm saying? I just walk away from Miss Sandra Bland. Oh, nah. And then it finally was complete. You know what I mean? So that record really took me out of my normal creative process. Usually I sit there and just make a song.
Okay.
This was about all of it. Central Park 5, like, and it's all in that record.
Gotcha. And what about most personal?
The most personal record on there is a song called The Long Way Home, where pretty much in the song I'm saying, like, I'm taking a long way home, like I'm driving home, the metaphor is I'm driving home, but I rerouted and went past her house, the girl that I'm missing, right? That's the metaphor. But the real what's really happening is I'm just thinking about her again. She's going back through my mind. Like, I'm just in deep thought. So I'm back down that train of thought that I told myself I won't take this route again. I won't drive down memory lane again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I won't break down on sorrow and pain, the intersection of sorrow and pain. Like your car break down. Like, it's a real metaphors throughout it, but it's all me thinking about her again.
What's your writing process? How's that? Like, do you just go to the studio and just like listen to instrumentals, or do you write your verses, like your lyrics first?
Nah, I never write because I don't know. I want to get to writing. I always feel like writers are better creators. I put the mic on, I put the beat on the headphones, okay, and I'll say a couple lines, I'll stop it, I'll hum a melody, then I think of like, what can I say there? I just go back and forth, stop and go until the song is there, then I re-sing it all over and polish it like a day or two later, but I'll put the idea down, come back around and re-sing the whole thing, but I never really, I want to start writing now. I want to start, because it's better to write.
It is, but that, I mean, it's somewhat like freestyling the set.
Yeah, right? You're kind of creating it on the spot. You know what I mean? You're creating it on the spot, piece by piece. And then, you know, you just put it together, listen back to it, see what changes you want to make, what words you want to strengthen. Mm-hmm. It is writing, but it's writing like without a pen in a way, writing with the Pro Tools itself. Like,
yeah.
Like writing
that's
on a computer.
Crazy.
that's the best way to explain
that's
it.
That's dope. I mean, listen, I remember when I used to like do music, that's something I couldn't do. Like writing was my thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so like, once you get into writing, it's I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting, you know, like just the whole. I'm a more like texture person, so I like that. You know, don't get me wrong. I've used the phone, but me, I like the texture.
Yeah.
You know, so once you get into it, you're gonna enjoy it. But I've always wished I had that. Like
that create on the spot
type of thing. I give it to you guys. That's like some. That's
it's annoying though
special,
because
bro.
No, it's annoying because you end up compromising more powerful lyrics with just adult melody or with trying to finish it because you there. Like, let me finish this while I'm sitting here. So you compromise, but when you got something written or you got something there, you can come back to it. You could review it and like come back to it over the course of weeks. Like, oh, nah, let me scratch that. I'm gonna use this word instead.
Yes, but you still have your moments where you're also like, let me just get this done.
Yeah.
This is when the lazy moment comes in. You understand?
Yeah.
So it goes both ways.
Okay, that's good that you mentioned that, because I never looked at it that way.
Yeah, it goes both ways. Like, sometimes you just want to finish
just
it.
Just finish
and
so
like,
you
can
just say whatever. Okay,
you
that
know?
Makes sense.
So you have certain moments. It all depends, you know, on the type of artist you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that once you get, you can do both,
mm-hmm.
it's super dope. You know, and that's,
appreciate that.
You know, like, not too many artists. I do want to ask you this, because you are, you know, R&B singer. You have that sound, you know. I feel like with R&B, you know, you have moments where you hear people like stating that R&B is like slowly fading away or like dying, or you know, like for me, I feel as if it's very much alive. You just have to, I guess, do your research.
Right.
But if you look at R&B right now, it's elevating to a place where even rappers are being melodic.
Very true. Yeah.
You know, so I tell people, I'm like, it's not fading away, it's not dying, it's more growing.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you feel as the R&B singer, as that singer who really hit the notes, you know, and just seeing the transition of how R&B has been going for the past few years?
I, you know, it's a gift and a curse when you have all the rappers singing that, like they've been singing for the last decade, I think. It makes the industry itself confuse what R&B is.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take these rap songs and play those instead of R&B. So it starts to push aside the real soulful singers. But the gift is that it shows that we inspire. You know, my genre inspires other genres to come in and start creating the way we create. And it actually allowed the real sounds to get shelved, allowed a lot of the like not real R&B to be in the forefront, and now people feel that void. Like, yo, I want to hear some real music.
Yeah.
And now R&B is coming back. Jasmine Sullivan just got a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
Silk Sonic, Bruno Mars, and what they did, Anderson .Paak. Like, people love that music because it's been missing.
Yeah.
So I like that. And right now, while I'm dropping albums, like, this is my first real album.
Mm.
It's a perfect time for that. Like, I feel like I caught the right time in. Because if I'd have dropped Aquarius 5 years ago, when all the rappers were singing and it was no R&B at all, it'd be harder to move it around.
Yes.
Harder, but now people want to hear R&B.
How does it feel dropping your first album?
It feels good, man. This is
your first CD. Right?
Yeah, everything else I dropped was like mixtapey. This is like, I put some stuff into this, you know? It took me a year to finish. I didn't just rush this. I wouldn't. You know, at one point I was going like, even as far as doing a photo shoot for it, like I was going to be lazy. Like, oh, what photo do I got that we could turn into an album artwork? But I'm like, nah, let me put like real energy into this and go shoot something and hire an expensive graphic designer and talk about a concept.
Yeah.
I put that into it. So now when I put the body of work out, it's more than just music. It's like, yo, this is a project right here.
So let's keep it a buck, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to creating an album, mixtape, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. EP. We already know that process where you're like over recording, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously you have 17 tracks. Are there tracks that didn't make it?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you go about selecting these tracks?
Good question. I had like 22 tracks. Before I put the album out, right? Or before I selected on what the final product was, I put up all the tracks of what was the proposed album, because I was going to use all 23 of them. I was going to wild out. I put all of that on a SoundCloud link.
Okay.
And a private SoundCloud link, and I hit all my fans and my supporters. I said, I want y'all to listen to this. It's like a study group.
Okay.
And I put 10 questions under it. Like, what was your most favorite, least favorite? What song should be removed? What song do you feel like any song should be added? Am I missing something? Does it flow? And then I put that out. I let all of my people, and I got over like 300 people that was like, and I got everything exported to a Google spreadsheet.
Okay.
I looked at the data. I pulled off the ones that multiple people said take off. I looked at the feeling of, you know, what the album felt like to some of them. I rearranged the project according to what people wanted to feel. And I narrowed it down. And that's Aquarius.
Yo, this man. Right?
Yeah, you got to use a study group.
That's a whole focus group. That's a whole focus group you did.
You have to. Like, it's a reason why before Pepsi launched a product, they let people taste.
Absolutely, you're right about that.
Yeah,
that's true. That's very true. That's dope, though. The fact that how you think.
That's for me meeting these dudes and these women that's like entrepreneurs and company owners and CEOs and sitting with them and figuring out like how did you get this company to go from six figures to eight figures? Like they talked about using these methodologies. Study groups and this and that, trial and error. So now I apply that with my music.
As you should.
Yeah.
And you know what's smart about it is like, what? Not only that you have the mindset, is the fact that you understand that, again, going back to how I mentioned the longevity of it, right? Mm-hmm. But you are in a place where it's like, you no longer care about the popularity.
Right.
Because it makes no sense to be popular and being broke.
It's true.
You understand? You're a place like, yo, my money needs to, I need to make the bag. Mm-hmm. However, this is your passion. Mm-hmm. And this is also your job.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you have to take it serious. So you're already in that place. You're taking over Atlanta. You know, I had asked you, I think like possibly last weekend when I was out here again, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you, cause I, for some reason, I see you in LA.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I mentioned that, and I was like, because I had mentioned, shout out to Scott, I was like, yo, is he? He was like, no. But then when we were talking, you was like, yo, like, you told me, you know, we spoke on certain things, and I'm like, I can see you, like, the growth, the levels of going from New York to Atlanta, then to LA, you understand? And then, you know, just going around the world after that, you know, I see that for you.
I appreciate that, because you putting it in, you add into the existence, you speaking it into life for me, so I thank you for that.
No, definitely, and you know, for you, I'm not sure if you're big on the power of manifestation.
I am, that's how I
so
that's
do you
how
write
I
everything out?
I had a vision board when I was in the projects about a year ago, and it was certain things I wrote down. I said I need my driver's license, because I couldn't drive in New York. Get a house, do this, get more into marketing. And yo, that whole vision board is off the wall because everything is done.
Okay.
Yeah, everything is done.
So now while you're
now
here,
I have a new vision board.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's new, so you can't stop. It ain't like, oh, I got it, because I realized that works.
Mm-hmm.
Because something about waking up and reading your goals or reviewing them, it just push you toward it. It make you thrive, like just live toward it.
Yeah.
Seeing it, reminding yourself like, oh yeah, in order to get closer to that, I gotta make sure I'm, it's something about it. People wonder like, why do people write things down? Why do people have this? It adds to the motivation.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Just knowing the fact, and then when it's funny, when you go back to it and you see how much you've accomplished, it makes you realize so much. Recently I was doing my business plan, and when I was just writing everything out, I was just like, oh wow. Like, you know, so it's like sometimes you overlook the accomplishments you've executed, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, again, shout out to what you're doing. Lastly, I want to ask you, when was the last time you did something for the first time?
Right down here, I feel like I've been doing a lot of new stuff, man. Like, I got my son Cairo, he's 1.5, so that whole thing, just being a father again, but from a different standpoint as an adult now in my 30s, every day with him is something new. Every day with him is something special. even driving, you know, like I just, like I said, I mean, I'm gonna mention it, and it's, I already plugged Bel Air, but I just did my first sponsorship deal. And this was 2 days ago.
Yes, sir.
So look, we here, we got the new Bel Air line, Vion. It's your boy Nathaniel the Great, official partner of Bel Air. I want y'all to take a taste test of this. Take a sip of that, tell me what y'all think. Nathaniel the Great, Brooklyn.
So good.
Be Henny.